I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13. We're going to read the words of our Lord, one of the parables, familiar parable, parable of the sower. Usually, I think when you've heard a sermon on the parable of the sower, the message is focused on those four soils. We're not going to completely ignore the four soils this morning, but the focus is on the ears and the sense of hearing that is mentioned so many times in this parable. It's Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read the first 23 verses in just a few moments, but I'm going to recall a little bit of history with you. Who's counting, but this is the sixth time that I've been invited to occupy this pulpit and bring a message to the faith community. The first one was exactly 1 year ago. Jill and I were welcomed as members on November 17, and I preached the first sermon here at Faith Community on November 24, and it was on the sense of sight. It was the Sunday before Thanksgiving, and my intent was to encourage Thanksgiving, gratitude for the small things, our eyes. Really kind of a second part to that series on the five senses this morning, on the sense of hearing and on our ears. It may seem sort of silly to preach a sermon on about ears, but it's really meant to be much more than that, of course. It's about gratitude. It's about deep gratitude for those small things in life, our ears, which really are pretty big things, it seems to me. And maybe an incentive to be thankful for little things, big things, all things. I've heard it said that to be thankful for everything in general is kind of an excuse for being thankful for nothing in particular. So this morning we're focusing on something very particular, the ears, and the deeper meaning that Scripture brings to us about the sense of hearing as well. Matthew 13. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Your eyes just glance back to verse 9 once again. Verse 9 says, whoever has ears, let them hear. And then also verse 16, but blessed are your eyes because they see and your ears because they hear. Dear friends in Christ. Once upon a time, there was a tailor shop and an exclusive French restaurant stood side by side. And every day, the tailor would take the lunch that he brought from home and sit out behind the business and eat his homemade lunch as he smelled the wonderful odors that were coming from the French restaurant. One day, the tailor was surprised to receive a statement, a bill, from the French restaurant for enjoyment of food. The tailor went to the restaurant owner and said, I've never bought anything from your restaurant. What's this bill all about? Well, the restaurant manager responded, every day you sit outside our French restaurant and smell those wonderful odors of our wonderful food as you eat your lunch. So we deserve to be paid for the enhancement of food, for the benefit that we provide to your lunchtime. The tailor stuck his hand in his pocket, rattled a few coins that were in his pocket. The French restaurant owner says, what's the meaning of that? Well, the tailor says, I'm paying for the smell of your food with the sound of my money. That's a great response, a great little story, too, about a couple of the five wonderful senses that God has given to us. Great story. Let me ask you a question. What did you write your term paper about during your senior year of high school? Now, if you're under 25, you might remember. If you're older than that, you probably don't remember. But I do. It was 57 years ago, but I remember what I wrote my senior term paper about. Are you ready for this? The ear. Kind of silly, it seems now. And you ask, why? Well, I don't know. I just hard up for a subject, I guess. So we have five senses. And I'm here this morning to inspire you to be more grateful for them and many other of the small things that are big things in life as well. I want to inspire gratitude. Again, it may seem sound silly to preach about ears, but there's much more to the sense of hearing than just that. Can you hear me now? Yeah, I'm not really asking you that. I'm just kind of using that quote. I mean, I have a microphone, and so oftentimes microphones are tested. Testing, one, two. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Well, a few years ago, there was a pitch man for Verizon on radio, television especially, I guess, who kept repeating that question. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? He wore that gray suit. We come to know his name is Paul. Can you hear me now? He asked over and over again. You know, it's not just when we're on the phone that we want to be able to hear and hear clearly, right? It's all the time. Well, most of the time, I guess. I've seen children and teenagers kind of go like this or like this when I attempted to correct their faults or whatever. And my wife claims I don't listen to her. That's not true. All the time. Bottom line, we use our ears a lot. I mean, the sense of hearing is all important, right? Though they're not just these ugly bilateral appendages on the sides of our heads. They're useful and extremely useful. I once heard a story about a little boy that was born without a nose. Just think of that. Born without a nose. How sad, right? It's even worse to be born without ears. I mean, keeping your glasses on would be the least of your concerns, right? How would you hear? Now, I don't know which of the five senses is your most important sense, but my guess is that it's either sight or hearing. The last thing you would want to give up of the five senses would be your eyes or your ears. Our sense of Our sense of sight, our eyes are so important for so many things, but our sense of hearing as well is absolutely crucial for the purpose of establishing and maintaining relationships. We have to be able to communicate to be in a relationship. We have to be able to hear as well as speak. Studies have been done comparing the adjustments to life of those who are born blind and those who are born deaf. Which do you think makes a better adjustment in life? People with hearing difficulties tend to withdraw from life. People with sight difficulties seem better adjusted. Deaf people feel left out, and they often are, and feel alone, live in a world all their own. Now, these two ugly bilateral appendages on our sides of our heads are only serve one purpose, really, but that's enough. That's enough. We want to be able to say, yes, I can hear you now. 1 Corinthians 12:17 asks, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? We give thanks for babies that are born with 10 fingers, 10 toes, and 2 ears, and the ability to hear their parents' voices. We give thanks for the amazing and all important sense of hearing. Now, among other things, the Bible teaches that faith comes from hearing. Wow. Faith comes from hearing. Romans 10:14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe unless they have heard? And the subsequent question, how will they hear without ears? There were 12 disciples, which made 24 ears, right? 24 ears. 12 disciples heard the call of Jesus to follow him, and he would make them fishers of men. Great. On many occasions, Jesus taught them things, including the principles of the kingdom. Here in Matthew 13 is one of those occasions, of course. Sometimes he taught only his disciples. Sometimes he spoke to the whole crowd. Well, Matthew 13 includes both. Verse 3 reports Jesus spoke many things to the crowd. Verse 10 kind of shifts, reports on a more private setting in which Jesus explains these parables to just his disciples. In every case, people's sense of hearing was important. And in this case, the whole point of the parable, it seems to me, focuses on this sense of hearing. Verse 18, hear the parable of the sower. Verse 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom. Verse 20, he who received the seed on stony places is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Verse 22, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, but cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word that he has heard. Verse 23, but he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it and bears fruit. Hear, hear. I apologize for stating the obvious, but this parable is about ears. Maybe ears of corn or grain, but especially, more importantly, those two appendages on the sides of our head. Jesus says repeatedly, he who has ears, let him hear. In the book of Revelation, every one of the letters to the seven churches in chapters 2 and 3 concludes with, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Hear the word of the Lord. Old Testament prophets practically wore out that phrase, didn't they? Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. There's a rather curious and somewhat crude expression that we've used that goes like this. Put that in your ear. Sound a little crude? But it's exactly what God wants to see happen with his word. And it might go in our ear and end up about 15, 16 inches, a little bit lower in our hearts, right? How shall they believe unless they hear? Faith comes by hearing. Faith by hearing. Now, if the parable of the sower is about hearing, it's also very much about hearing problems. Hearing problems. I don't know who coined the phrase, but we use it, hard of hearing. Strange. We don't say of people who have sight difficulties or who wear glasses that they're hard of seeing, do we? No, hard of hearing. I don't know what that means, and I don't know why. The parable of the sower is a way it illustrates this handicap, though, right? Some people can hear better than others. Some people are limited in what they hear. Some of us have hearing aids. There are different levels of hearing problems, even when it comes to something as important as hearing God's word. Selective hearing is something that's well known. I mean, some wives accuse their husbands of selective hearing, right? I can say honestly, I never heard my wife accuse me of that. But maybe I wasn't listening. Maybe I was practicing selective hearing at the time when she said it. There are other ear problems, according to the Bible. In a spirit of warning, the Apostle Paul writes about itching ears. 2 Timothy 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They will have itching ears, and they will turn away from the truth." Itching ears? Closed to the truth? That's not good. Or also in a spirit of warning, God spoke through one of the Old Testament prophets in the days of King Manasseh. He said, "I am bringing such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle." Sounds like getting struck by lightning rather than a sugar rush, doesn't it? Here's another warning from the book of Proverbs. "One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." Ouch. Ouch. What happens when one becomes deaf to spiritual truth? This ailment gives a whole new meaning, doesn't it, to hard of hearing? What are the dangers of not being able to hear any longer the Word of God? What price might one pay who can no longer hear the voice of God in his heart or soul? "Where else would we go?" Peter says in John 6. "You have the words of eternal life." Faith comes by hearing. Pity those who are hard of hearing when it comes to spiritual truth. How very, very sad. Now, the Bible knows another kind of hearing problem, especially described in the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 22 instructs, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves." James continues, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like one who observes his face in a mirror and immediately forgets what he saw. But he who looks into the perfect law and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of it. This one will be blessed." And in the next chapter, James adds, "Faith without works is dead." What James is saying is simply this: hearing must be followed by doing. If hearing is not followed by doing, then there's a hearing problem. It's not getting through. God speaks through Old Testament Isaiah these words: "Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Make the heart of the people dull, their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, let they see with their ears, eyes and hear with their ears, and understand in their hearts, and return and be healed." Most of those Jesus had in mind when he told this parable, it seems to me, had hearing problems, right? Most of those who heard this parable, caused or complicated by a hard heart, or a weak resistance to temptation, or worldly concerns, or love of riches, 75% of the seed failed to bear fruit. 3 out of the 4 soil samples, 75%. Can it be that 75% of the people on earth who hear God's word will never believe it? Hearing you will hear, but not understand, Jesus says in verse 14. This might be one of the saddest excuses, right, ever, that anyone might ever give to God. "I can't hear you. I can't hear you." Now, before we move on to a cure, let me just quickly add that the Bible suggests that God can also have a hearing problem. God? Yeah? There are certain sounds, maybe certain prayers, that God might not hear. I mean, listen to the psalmist. Psalmist many times cried unto the Lord, but he wasn't sure that God could hear him. Psalm 39, 12. "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, or let me be a stranger to you." Psalm 13, 1 says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Consider and hear me, O Lord my God." Or Psalm 66:17, I cried to God with my mouth. If I regarded iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not hear. Or 1 Peter 3:7, husbands. You listening? That got half of your attention. Husbands, live considerately with your wives, giving honor to the weaker vessel, that your prayers may not be hindered. We don't like to think of prayers bouncing off the ceiling, right? But there are times when God doesn't hear them, it seems, as well. When King Solomon, for example, prayed that prayer while that golden temple was being dedicated in the city of Jerusalem, he repeated this petition often. If your people turn back to you after sinning in one of a dozen ways, then hear their prayer. Perhaps this must be said. When God is having a hearing problem, it's probably not on his end of the line, right, but on ours. We might be sending so-called mixed signals, or the static of sin in our hearts might be making it hard for God to hear our prayers. Psalm 34, depart from evil and do good, the psalmist says, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Lord, can you hear me now? A newly acquainted couple was sitting on the couch as the evening was coming to a close. It was getting late. It was time to say goodbye. He leaned over to her and said, may I kiss you? She looked back at him and did not respond. He looked back at her, may I kiss you? He says a little more insistently. Again, there was no response. He looked to her and says, are you deaf? She looked at him and said, are you paralyzed? Are you deaf? Now, you would never answer that question because you didn't hear the question in the first place, right? Are you deaf? So you're not deaf. But are you hard of hearing? Some older people are. Some older ears begin to fail, of course, just like older eyes, and so our sense of hearing can slowly diminish. We know that Jesus encountered some people who were deaf, not a lot of them, but a few, maybe more than what we read about. We read about them in the Gospel of Mark only. He tells the message and about these healings of the deaf. Healings, in chapter 7, for example, Jesus healed a deaf mute by putting his fingers in the man's ears. Mark records that the man's ears were opened, and the story concludes with an amazed crowd who said they were astonished, we read, beyond measure, saying, he does all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. Two chapters later, Jesus heals another man who is both deaf and demon-possessed. He makes the deaf to hear. Wow, wow. When John the Baptist wondered if Jesus was really the Christ, Jesus responded to the messengers and said, go back to John and tell John the things that you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. He makes the deaf to hear. Jesus does. What do people do who have a hearing problem? Well, some get hearing aids. I could ask for a show of hands, but I won't. A very few, I think, undergo some kind of surgery to implant some kind of device in the back of their head. I saw that at a football game a couple weeks ago. A mechanical device that sends a signal directly to the brain so that they can hear some sounds at least. Most, however, just live with the problem, right? A lot of you just live with the problem. There are no medical fixes for the deaf. Blind have Braille. But as far as I know, there's nothing like that for the deaf. I mean, we have sign language, but that's different. What does one do who becomes hard of hearing in the biblical sense? I mean, what should you do if your sense of spiritual healing becomes dull? Or when your heart becomes insensitive or even unresponsive to the voice of God or His Word? Remember those warnings of the Apostle Paul? The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but have itching ears and will turn away from the truth. There are far too many people that fit that description. What does one do, though, when you begin to recognize the wrong kind of soil in your heart? where the seed of the word can't grow because your heart is hard, like that path, or surrounded by weeds of sin, or crowded out by worldly concerns or riches. What does one do when you can't hear the voice of God clearly or at all? As far as I know, only Jesus can address the problem of deafness or that of hard of hearing in a spiritual sense. Only Jesus. That's why those who saw Jesus heal the deaf were so impressed. Only Jesus can, only God can forgive sins, they would say. And only Jesus as well could do that. Only Jesus could heal the deaf, the powerful Son of God. As far as I know, only Jesus can do something today as well on behalf of those who are spiritually deaf or hard of hearing. In the middle of Jesus' explanation as to why he taught in parables, Jesus gave this blessing in verse 16, "Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. He makes the deaf hear." There's a song that goes like this: "Open my eyes that I may see, glimpses of truth thou hast for me." Is there another verse that starts with, "Open my ears that I might hear"? There is. There is. "Let me hear your voice, Lord. Open my ears. Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. I want to hear. I want to hear." I haven't heard much about it lately, but some years ago, the environmentalists were talking about noise pollution. Remember that? Noise pollution. Too much noise, especially in our cities. You know, cars and buses, trucks, planes and trains and so on. The sound of construction, the sound of factories and industries, and on it went. They were polluting the air with noise pollution. Some of the more skeptical citizens had doubts about the seriousness of that problem, but it was there. On the spiritual side, we may have a problem, however. Maybe some of the rocks, the weeds, the soil of our hearts are the noisy distractions that the world would fill our ears and thoughts with. We're more attentive to the worldly things than to the voice of God. We have a problem, Houston. We have a problem. Ecclesiastes 3:7 states, "There is a time for silence." How much silence can you stand? There's a time for silence. There's a time to speak, Ecclesiastes says, and a time for silence. How many of us are able for just a few minutes each day to shut out the sounds of the world, put the phone in another room where you can't see it or hear it, so that we can hear God speak to us? One of the Elijah stories is interesting in this connection. After that mountaintop experience at Carmel, in which he brought fire down from heaven and burned up 450 prophets of Baal and so on, he became depressed, fled from the threats of Queen Jezebel. God pursued him into the desert. Remember that story? Where only the only way that God got through to him was that famous still small voice. Still small voice. Elijah had to be very quiet in order to hear God. The psalmist writes, Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God," encouraging us to take time for silence. Give God some of your quiet time. It's not called quiet time for nothing. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Read his word. Let him speak to you. Blessed are those ears, said the Lord, for they hear. You know, when God spoke at the dawn of history, what happened? Creation itself responded, right? God said, "Let there be," and it was so. He spoke, and creation responded. How about us? How about us? The parable of the sower forces us to ask ourselves, which sounds the most familiar to us? What do I do when I hear the word of God? The parable says, well, some hear the word of the kingdom, but don't understand it, and the wicked come along and snatch it away. Or it gets crowded out, weeds and thorns of life. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it and bears fruit. Wow. How about us? Do you have ears? Give thanks. Give thanks. Do you have ears to hear? Give thanks. Do you have ears to hear the voice of God? Give thanks. A week or two ago, NBC broadcasted a story about a little boy born with a small and non-functional ear. His parents tried over and over again to get the insurance to pay for the corrective surgery. NBC got involved. Parents were discouraged, lack of response from insurance company. They finally decided to go ahead with the surgery and pay for it out of their own pockets, $100,000, whatever it was. And just as the boy is under surgery, the insurance company came through, thanks to NBC's involvement. Some of you maybe heard that story. Think of being a parent of a little boy like that, born with a small, misshapen ear. The problem is just not just aesthetic, although that's a real issue, but it's auditory, not being able to hear. As parents, we'd be crushed. Many parents have been crushed by such stories. How would you feel when the insurance company comes through and decides to pay for that surgery, to do some plastic surgery to the ear? And secondly, restore, hopefully, some sense of hearing. The thankfulness of such parents would be overwhelming. How about ourselves or our children having a hearing difficulty in that spiritual sense? One of those three soils doesn't bear fruit. What if the Spirit, like the insurance company, came through and touched that heart and opened those ears? How grateful would a parent be? Gratitude. Thanksgiving week. We have eyes. We have ears. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Give thanks. For ears, but also that spiritual sense. Eyes of faith and ears of faith that can hear God speak and call to obedience and faith. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for the five senses, each and every one. Could we do without any one of them? Not really. Not really. And if we had to sacrifice one or more, we'd want to keep our eyes and ears for last. Thank you, Lord, for that ability built into every human body. Thank you beyond that, O Lord, that we can hear you and your word and accept it and believe it and take it to heart and let our lives be governed by it. Make us that fruitful soil. In Jesus, we pray. Amen.